Hello and welcome to the broadcast of Deep Coffin and Deep. I'm your host, Jeremy Lopez, and today I want to talk to you for a little bit about something that you're going to love the title of, and it's called Thoughts That Control the Universe, okay? Now, you might look at yourself and say, wait a minute, hold on, we're not called to really control the universe, are we? I mean, isn't that God's job? I mean, didn't God create the heavens and the earth, and didn't God do this and God do that? Aren't we supposed to decrease more? Isn't that a little bit too controlling and overpowering? No, hold on a minute. When I asked the Lord earlier what to speak on, concerning this broadcast, God spoke to me. He says, let them know their thoughts create, their thoughts maintain, their thoughts sustain, their thoughts empower, and their thoughts begin to shift and change the nature of something around them. Their thoughts are empowering. And all of a sudden, God began to show me something. He says, in other words, your thoughts control your atmosphere. Your thoughts control your universe. In other words, your atmosphere, your environment, your thoughts control your world. Now, when we hear that for a moment, sometimes we're taken back, are we not? To say, hold on a minute, wait a minute, I'm sort of getting mixed signals here. What exactly does that mean? Here's exactly what it means, folks. Did you know, as believers in Christ, that, you know, and so many of you have said, you know, I've accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior, I've done this, I've done that, you know, and all of a sudden you just feel like it's the final work, you're done, everything's taken care of. But there's a scripture that deals with something that we have to remember. It's almost like it's outside of that receiving Christ, you know, as our Lord and Savior. And it says, being a partaker of the divine nature of God, which means being a partaker of the very divine nature of God means that we are partaker of the divinity, the divineness, so to say, the very essence of who He is, the character, the DNA, the very essence and presence of the glory and the strength and the power and the excellence that God displays, the very divineness, the divinity of who He is, that He says, Paul says, be a partaker of that. Be a partaker of that divinity. Be a partaker of what? That divine nature. And the word nature comes from the word name. You know, just like Adam named the animals. And so I'm going to digress for a minute to break this down to where you begin to get the essence of it and get the fullness of this revelation. Because when Adam named the animals, I believe that so many animals approached Adam, and I believe God had the power of life and death in the tongue of Adam to begin to speak and create the very nature or the name, so to say, in the mouth of Adam to begin to produce the life of what that animal would look like, sound like, act like, talk like, and walk like. Because the word name means nature, so the very nature of the animal, the personality, the character, the sound, the tone, you know, everything about the essence of what the animal should look like and sound like and project that image of the personality, whether it was mean, you know, as far as roaring, or whether it was soft like a dove, it doesn't matter. The very nature or the personality or character of that thing that now we call the animal of, let's say, a lion or a dove or a cat or a dog or a gopher or a chipmunk, everything that we see, a horse, you know, cow, a buffalo, everything that we see was formulated, listen to me now, by the very nature that came out of the mouth of one man, which Adam represents humanity or humankind or mankind, which means out of the mouth of the first man spoke the very nature of the existence of each and every animal that we see and perceive today. And we sound and we hear the sound of the animal, we know that came from the word of life that came forth out of the first Adam that spoke into that being of that beast and began to formulate the personality and the character of what that animal should look like and sound like and talk like and walk like. Are you with me? And so, knowing that, we see, not only did we receive Christ, but it's that place of saying, hey, by the way, are you now a partaker of the divine nature of Christ Jesus? In other words, are you a divine nature person in essence of saying, I partake of the divinity daily. I partake of that divine nature, which means taking on the very nature or substance of who God is and who God has been and who God will be. God will never become anything. God never has been anything. God has already always been being or God in the now moment, all right? Because everything that we look at as past, present, and future, God always always is in that now moment, because God is eternity. So God is the past and the future in the now moment to us. That's why He's our ever-present help in time of trouble. So understanding that concept, we have to grab a hold of the fact that that nature, okay, listen to me now, that nature, everything that you perceive and hear and know about who God is in teachings and revelations and Him talking to you personally and all that stuff, all of that is the nature of how God operates, of who God is, and how He brings forth and displays Himself to us in a way of love. So that nature of God and that divinity that we call God in essence and being, guess what, is actually part of us if we allow it to become a part of us. If we awaken to the very fact that I can partake of that nature of who God is, which means that not only am I a believer, but now I can be able to take a step further and partake of that divinity, of the very character and personality and essence of the very nature of who God is to the creation and the universe. So knowing that, we have to remember that we as believers, guess what, doesn't come automatically that we have the mind of Christ, does it? It doesn't say, just because you've done this, you've said this prayer, you've done this, you've done that, automatically, guess what? Bam, you have everything there is. Listen to me now. God has already given us all things that pertain to life and godliness, yes. But guess what? You also have the choice to choose in the sense of saying, I want more strength, I want more power, I want more anointing, I want more authority, I want more of knowing that God will withhold nothing from me, because all good things flow down from the Father of lights, and in Him there is no shadow of turning. And everything that He is, He said He's already given to me. But here's the difference. It's not the fact that you don't have it. It's the fact that you have not what activated it in your life. So yes, you have it, but you haven't activated it to begin to be made alive in you. So when you say, for example, I want to obtain the mind of Christ, I'm tired of moving in the limited mind of my little puny mind that only thinks limited and small and not really creative enough, then I want to move into the place of taking on the mind of Christ. I want to be able to renew my mind by actually taking on that powerful nature of the mind of Christ, because the mind of Christ is the one that spoke the universe into being. The mind of Christ is the one who created the nations, the creation of in which we live, the summer, the spring, the winter, the fall, the trees, the valleys, the galaxies, the moon, the stars, the energy in the universe, you know, the matter, the dark matter, as scientists begin to understand and realize there's dark matter, the black holes, everything. God spoke into creation, folks. God spoke through the mind of who He is, because His mind is so unlimited. His mind doesn't need creative thoughts. It is creativity. And so therefore, when God speaks, it's automatically something new, powerful, strong, never been made known in the universe before. And so everything He does is a beginning until He decides to say enough and end it. And what you start, you can finish. And He has the power to do that. So understanding all that strength of who He is and that nature, we're called to take on the very divine nature of Christ, correct? We're also called to take on the mind of Christ. So when we say, thoughts, my thoughts control the universe, that means that if I move in the mind of Christ, guess what, folks? That means that power of the thoughts of Christ that create, speak, beginning, Genesis, Alpha, begins to constantly create something that scientists are figuring out every single day, something new in the universe. We're figuring out something that the earth holds, how the earth moves, the rotation, the gravity, the universal laws that God established in the universe. I mean, we're discovering things daily, folks, that God constantly says, create, and just opens His mouth and speaks it. So that mind is now a part of who I am. And knowing that I have that same mind, I have the power to think thoughts and watch them begin to manifest. So does thoughts create things? Absolutely. Does like attracts like according to like law of attraction? Absolutely. Does it mean that if I move in the mind of Christ, I can move into the highest frequency known to man? Once again, we're not talking New Age, folks. We're talking maturity of the sons of God. Everything in the universe vibrates and moves in frequency waves. We know that. They're not New Age. Nothing can be New Age unless you empower it to become what you want it to be. Other than that, it's what God created. God God created frequency waves for a reason. I believe He created frequency waves so we could tap into that powerful source called radio, called television, that we can spread the gospel around. We can watch shows. We can listen with our ears, to have an ear to hear and an eye to see. All that stuff, folks, is because of frequency waves. We're able to pick up these channels on television, on satellite, because of frequency waves. So because of that, God says, look, I want to move you into the highest frequency wave known to creation, and that is the frequency wave of how God thinks, how God moves, how God thinks, how God operates. And that's called the mind of Christ. When you move into that frequency wave of understanding that I am now partaker of His divine nature, I move in the mind of Christ. That means I have the power to create. I have the power in me to speak a Genesis effect to everything in my life. Everything small, everything big, your thoughts control the universe. When you move into the submission and the authority of Christ, guess what? You had to take on the mind of God to begin to say, let there be, to begin to bring forth a creative word, to begin to create, bring forth a creative thought, and watch that thought begin to create and formulate something. Let's say, for example, if someone says, well, thoughts really can't create anything. Let me tell you something. Does your thought, if I begin to entertain my thought with lust, let's say for a horrible sexual way of lustful thoughts, and all of a sudden if my mind just went there and began to create something, wouldn't it be that the attraction, like a magnet, would draw to me pornography, or draw to me the things that would help fulfill that lust and that mind to begin to pull it into further? Because my image of my imagination draws detail, detail, detail. And all of a sudden, guess what? I want to see those details manifested. Whether I realize it or not, the magnetism of the attraction will begin to draw that into my being. And I'll begin to seek out, and it'll begin to seek me out, to begin to find those graphic images embedded in my mind and my consciousness, to begin to be formulated upon a page or a screen or a movie or whatever. Do you see what I'm saying? So thoughts do create your reality, folks. Imagine if we begin to think the thoughts of God. Imagine what happens when you begin to think and formulate the thoughts of how God thinks and how God looks. When you begin to do that, your thoughts will begin to continuously draw in detail, draw in detail. Everything in your consciousness, folks, wants detail. Good, bad, and ugly, it wants detail. And the more you give it attention, the more it begins to expand, the more it begins to multiply, the more that you begin to say, I demand more detail or artwork. I demand the details to know what that looks like. And what happens is, how many of you have ever looked at a portrait? And you look at the portrait and all of a sudden you're just like, oh man. And here's what most of us say. If you see a beautiful picture, how many of you have said to yourself, oh wow, look at the details in the architecture work. Look at the details of that construction work. Look at the details of the outline of this woman's face in this portrait. Look at the details of that building. Look at the details of how, you know, if you're looking at a Christian painting, let's say, of the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. Someone has painted him as a lion, and they've painted in the background maybe a dove that's sort of faint looking, and all of a sudden you see this or that. What do you begin to do? You begin to look at that and say, look at the details of the outline in the background of the dove behind the lion. You begin to pull it. Why? Because your mind is hungry for details. And you have to remember, because my mind is hungry for details, how much more. And here's the part that I really love about God. God says, what I'm able to do exceedingly, listen to me now, you've heard this a million and one times, but listen again to detail. I can do exceedingly, abundantly, above anything and everything you're able to ask or think. Now, my mind, when I was born, from that moment till now, to the day I die, is just like yours. It demands that it wants answers. It demands it wants to see things. It wants to hear things. It wants to know facts. It wants to know truths. It wants detail, 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 does it not? And because of that, we're programmed that way. Why is it that humans want details of stuff? Whether it's a gossip, fill me in on the details. How did she look? How did he look? What happened when he did this to her? What happened when she did this to him? Why? Because your mind automatically goes there. Your mind automatically wants details. What happens if we transfer that mind into the image and likeness of God, to be and move and operate into the thoughts and the mind of God? What happens at that moment, folks, when we begin to pull into the equation of our thought process to say, if my mind demands details, how much more Check this out. How much more does the mind of Christ demand the details of things that are pure, holy, righteous, creative, imaginative? How much more details does the mind of Christ love? Guess what? Because God is the God of details. God says, look, if you forgive once, you forgive seven times, you forgive 70 times seven, you continuously forgive. Which means what? You continuously learn to be creative in your forgiving process to say, because my mind could easily come and say, well, I know this and I know that and about this person. But the mind of Christ says, but the detail that I need to push on this portrait of me not wanting to forgive this person, the details is forgiveness, because I see the outline, or I see the details of the outcome of what will become of me, what will become of this person if I learn to forgive. And so everything pulls into your life the details of the architectural work of God that moves in His mind. And because of that, guess what? When you begin to think like God, your mind will pull from the instinct in you the details, because God's a detailed God. And because of that, you're going to begin to get the details in your mind to begin to say, you know what? I want this in my life. And you'll begin to pull in the details of creation, the details of the universe, the details of everything God has created, and you begin to formulate what it is in your life that you need according to the will of God, the things that you need to fulfill the will of God for your life, the things that you will draw to you because you know you need these things, even though you're not in need of anything, because God is just your shepherd and you need nothing or you want nothing. But guess what? Even though you know you have it inwardly, you need to see it manifest outwardly. So you begin to draw into your life the details of what it is you need to get the will of God and get the job done for the kingdom of God and for the satisfaction of your abundance of life that God's promised you. So you begin to pull into the equation of your life the details. And what does God do? God honors that. He sees that you begin to move in the mind of God, and He knows that your thoughts will begin to control things in the sense of not controlling like we've known in a manipulative way, to control it like a slave to a, you know, like a master to a slave. No, the word control here we're talking about means the subjection or putting under the authority, so to say, of who God is. And that means that my thoughts will begin to move according to the will of God for my life, and those thoughts will begin to bring to my life exactly what it is I need in my life. And so my thoughts have the power to bring the universe under the subjection or the power or the authority of what lies inside of my spirit, which is the divine nature, which is the mind of Christ. And as I begin to move out in that mind of God, guess what happens? The universe says, I recognize that. Do you remember the seven sons of Sceva? How many of you remember the story of the seven sons of Sceva? Where, you know, hey, Paul I know, Jesus I know, John I know, Peter I know. I mean, you know, you could name all these disciples. Everybody that was in God, so to say, you know, the demons would say, I know these dudes. I know all these women and men. Hey, I know these people. But who are you? And guess what happens? The Bible says that the sons of Sceva were attacked because of the fact the presence of the evilness began to come upon them. Why? Because they didn't recognize. There was no validation. There was no power within these men of seven sons of Sceva. Why? Because they had no recognition. They had no moving of the mind of Christ in them. And when you move in the mind of Christ, then everything that is in heaven, in earth, above earth, or under earth begins to subject itself or bring itself under the authority of the mind of Christ work that works in you. And so when you begin to move in the mind of Christ, guess what happens? Everything begins to come under your command, because you're moving in the will of God, under the mind of God, in the mind of God, to say everything that I need in my life to fulfill and satisfy my life to become a self-fulfilled prophecy of the words that Jesus said, which was, I've come to give you life and give it to you more abundantly. That way the abundance of life in that moment needs to be fulfilled in your life. Did you think about that? That we can call that a prophecy. We can say, Jesus prophesied to me and says He's going to give me life and give it to me more abundantly. And you would be correct in your thinking, knowing that Jesus prophesied to you and says, yea, yea, says the Lord, I've come to give you life and give it to you more abundantly. So guess what? You have a prophecy you've got to fulfill. It's got to be a self-fulfilled prophecy, which means only you can fulfill that prophecy of the abundance of life that you need in your life. And how you self-fulfill that prophecy is by getting under the mind of Christ, the umbrella of the mind of God, God and realizing what I think I'll begin to have, what I begin to think in the sense of what's good, holy, pure, because all things flow down. All things flow down. Put another way, all things are attracted to me from the Father of lights. Guess what, folks? Did you hear what I just said? That's your aha moment to realize all good things flow down from the Father of lights, which means all good things flow down because it's attracted to the magnet in you because it recognizes the mind of Christ in you. And as the mind of Christ in the heavens recognizes the mind of Christ in you, guess what? It begins to attract and pull to you all good things. And guess what? The prophecy begins to come to pass where the abundance of life and life more abundantly, so to say, is what you're looking for. It begins to be fulfilled because you begin to attract to yourself everything that your thoughts are drawing to yourself of the good things and the goodness of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. This is a season to begin to call upon that attraction, to begin to think about what it is in your life you need, and only you can decide what it is you need in your life according to the will of God for you. You know, God won't ask you, what is it good? What is it of the goodness of my kingdom that you're looking for? And, you know, and you say, I don't know, God, just throw me a bone. Throw me something that was so, to surprise me. God's not going to do that to you. God says, ask and it shall be given. Seek and you shall find. You've got to ask what it is in your life that you're looking for and put the details to that asking. And when you put the details to the asking, God will begin to bless you. God will begin to satisfy you. But you can't go to God and just say, throw me a bone, God. Whatever you want me to have, just give me some idea. Give me some idea. God says, no, you have to be creative by moving and operating in the mind of who I am. And when you bring the details to me, I'll bring the details back to tell you how to fulfill that thing. And that's the place of God that God wants you to begin to do. Bring Him details and He'll give you details. He'll give you the outline, the blueprint to know how to begin to fulfill the details that you're bringing to Him by giving you the details of how to finish that work that you're looking for. That's why it says, he who began a good work is more than able to finish it and complete it. Which means if you begin to bring, to draw near to God, He draws near to you. As you begin to draw near to Him with the details, He begins to satisfy you with the details of the beginningness and the ending to know how to fulfill the details you brought before Him. Because the Bible says, what? Ask and it shall be given. Seek and you shall find. So you've got to know what you're seeking for. If I walk outside of my house and I say, I'm a seeker, I'm just going to walk in any direction, guess what? There's no vision. And without a vision, people perish. There's no purpose behind the seeking. There's got to be a purpose behind your asking, folks. There's got to be a purpose behind your seeking. And there's got to be a purpose behind what you're knocking for to get what you're, to know what you're after on the other side of that door. So because of that, you've got to have detail work. You've got to have details. You've got to have purpose. Because if you don't, you're gonna perish. God says, get a vision. Bring that vision before me. God never says He's going to give you the vision. It says, without a vision, the people perish. You get your own vision of what you believe your life should be and look like in your life according to what you feel God has given you and told you what direction to go into. You formulate, you paint the vision, and you begin to bring it before Him. As you do that, God says, now you brought to me details. I'm going to bring to you details. We'll close with this. What a man sows is what he reaps. You sow details, he'll cause you to reap back details. Are you with me? You sow the seed of the details of what you're looking for, and God will make sure, He'll be the author and finisher of your faith. He'll reassure and reaffirm you and give you the details, the desires of your heart. He'll give you the details of what you have given Him, because if you sow details, you reap details. So it's time, folks, to allow your thoughts to control the universe. It's time that you allow the thoughts to begin to tell the universe to bow down to the mind of Christ in you, which means it'll give you and present to you and give and attract to you everything and anything you need to make sure that that prophecy is fulfilled in your life of the abundance of life that Jesus spoke into the universe, and that frequency and that vibration that resounds in the universe constantly is vibrating abundant life, abundant life, abundant life. And whoever gets in that frequency wave by begin to initiating the mind of Christ in them will begin to have and begin to see the attraction, begin to bow down, the universe bowing down to the thoughts of the mind of Christ in you to say, what is it that you need me to bring to you? Whatever you need, here it is to give you and fulfill that prophecy of the abundance of life God promised you. Well, look, I know I gave you a lot today in this broadcast. I know I talk fast. I want you to begin to write it down. Take notes if you can. Go back and take notes. That's one good thing about a podcast is you can stop and start and stop, and begin to take notes of what it is you're needing to hear that will set you free to be in control of your own life. And that's what God wants you to do and be. Is God the captain of our lives? Absolutely. But guess what, folks? You're living in Him. And knowing that you're living in Him, you have the power to begin to remember that if I'm in Him and He's in me, we're one. So there's no separation. So if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. That means that I can begin to understand that I need to pull what it is in my life I need and begin to be the creator of my life and begin to decide what it is in my life I need. God doesn't want to make you a robot, folks. There's a difference between denying yourself, taking up the cross and following Him daily. And there's a difference between that and taking control of your life and denying what of your selfish desires that you know are unhealthy for you. Denying yourself means denial of the unhealthiness that you know it'll produce in your life. The unhealthiness that you want to bring forth that'll produce bad things for you and other people. But all good things. It's funny, God did not even say all God things, did He? Because I believe the religious people want to hear that. I believe the religious people want to hear God say, all God things flow down from the Father of lights. But He didn't. He said, all good things. All good things, folks. All good things flow down from the Father of lights. And in me there's no shadow of turning. I'll never turn from not giving you the goodness of my kingdom. Which means, if the good things flow down, folks, guess what? Attract those good things into your life. Manifest and create with good things. Because all good things are looking for some kind of magnet to be drawn to. My question to you today is this. Are you the magnet that's drawing the good things of the Father of lights today? If you are, then you're going to fulfill the prophecy of the abundance of life that you were created to have in this existence we call planet Earth. By the way, before we close, I want you to do me a favor. Consider two things for me, okay? First thing is, we have our school of thought, visualization, and imagination. This has taken the earth by storm, the body of Christ by storm, because we have sold so many of this course. It's a very, very inexpensive course. It's actually $85, folks. It should retail for $300 or $400, and so many people have said, that is just too cheap. And I said, no, it's not cheap. It's valuable, and I wanted to get people in people's hands. It's $85. You get all the CDs, DVD, one of my books. You get all of that for just $85. We ship it out to you today in the mail in this box of all this stuff that you need. So I want to encourage you, get the course today. It'll change your world. I go into detail about thoughts and words. These broadcasts cannot even contain the fullness at all, by far. Everything that I would love to share with you to where you can become this person, like I've become this person, to know I'm fine, I'm secure financially, I've got good things flowing into my life, I have no need of anything because everything that I need is drawing into my life and my existence daily. And folks, we're not even talking about faith. This is my reality. It is flowing into my life, and I want to flow into your life. And so I'm telling you, get this course. It'll help change your world and change the way you think. The other thing is this. Please pray with me and consider partnering with us. There's a partner with Jeremy Lopez for just $10 a month, folks. $10 a month. That's all I ask. I've had people say that they require 50 or 100. And I tell people, I say, people today, they can't afford it, but they've got other bills to pay. They've got other things to do. That's why I ask for just $10 a month. And what I do is, if you can partner with me for $10 a month, every month, the first week of every month, I will send you a full, complete sermon, teaching, whatever you want to call it, that is of really in-depth revelatory things, folks, of a teaching that I will do for you in that month for that month. I'm telling you, we send it as an MP3 download to your email the first week of every month, where you can download the entire teaching, keep it forever. In fact, most people burn them to CDs. Most people upload my teachings to their iPads or iPods or their iPhone, so they can take it with them, listen to it in the car with them on a CD. You have that right. I give you permission to burn it on CDs. I have no problem with that. But I want to bless you with a teaching every month that you can begin to be blessed and move in this stuff called the mind of God, the mind of Christ. And so all you have to do is go to the homepage, identitynetwork.net. On the right-hand side in that column, you will see a little box. It's black and white. It says Partner with Jeremy Lopez. Click on that. That's all you have to do. Click on it, and it will take you probably 30 seconds to process it. And once you're done doing that, I'll send you a teaching. In fact, the good thing is, folks, every month I surprise my personal partners, I surprise them all the time with more than one teaching. Sometimes if God says send them three teachings, I'll do three teachings that month, just send them out to them with no extra charge. And so guess what? You might get 3 and 4 and 5 teachings, or you might get one teaching a month. But either way, I want to empower you with that revelatory stuff as a prophetic minister that God has given me. Prophets are always ahead of the church. Listen to me now. Prophets and prophetic people are always one step ahead of the church, because their job is to go ahead, to get what God is saying in the earth and bring it back in a time frame of the church to where the church knows and hears what God is getting ready to do, to where they can be on the same page with God. Did you just hear what I said? That's what prophetic people do. Is we go ahead, get what God has, bring it into this now moment from the future, and share with the church to where the church can be ready in season and out of season. I'm telling you, folks, partner with me for $10 a month, and I'll give you and I'll send to you those teachings every single month to your email. And if you can either partner with us and or buy the course, School of Thought, Visualization, and Imagination, through the website of identitynetwork.net, I'm telling you, folks, it will revolutionize your life forever. God bless you. Until our next broadcast, go and create what you need today. Go and move in the mind of God. Pull from the heavens the goodness, the good things of the kingdom of God into your life. God bless you. We'll talk to you soon.